May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Simon and Garfunkel's song, Mrs. Robinson, is one of the iconic ballads of the 1960s. It was originally part of the soundtrack for The Graduate and was released 3 months later as a single in early 1968. It includes the line, Where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio? A nation turns its lonely eyes to you. What's that you say, Mrs. Robinson? Jolton Joe has left and gone away. That would become the song's most discussed line. Mike Wallace raised it in a 60 Minutes interview with Paul Simon years later. Wallace had heard that Paul Simon and Joe DiMaggio had run into each other in a New York restaurant. And DiMaggio had immediately said, What I don't understand is why you ask where I've gone. I just did a Mr. Coffee commercial. I'm a spokesperson for the Bowery Savings Bank, and I haven't gone anywhere. Paul Simon replied that he didn't mean the lines literally, that he thought of him as an American hero, and that in the late 1960s, heroes were in short supply. Apparently, DiMaggio accepted the explanation and they parted as friends. Mike Wallace's comment to Paul Simon on 60 Minutes was a wry smile and obviously Mr. DiMaggio is not accustomed to thinking of himself as a metaphor. And certainly we don't often think of ourselves as metaphors. We think of ourselves in concrete terms. I know I do. I'm a son. I'm a brother. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a priest. They are all straightforward descriptions of who I am in relation to other people. We would roll our eyes if we heard self-referential metaphors from people. I'm the oil that lubricates my company's machine. I'm your shelter in a storm. Cynthia would go wild if she heard me say, I'm the antibody that shields our family from the virus of secularism. I can hear her now. Where do you get off on yourself, Paul? But Jesus, in John's Gospel, is accustomed to speaking of himself as a metaphor. And it is not to be taken as inappropriate or tasteless or self-aggrandizement. To the contrary, John powerfully uses Jesus' metaphorical references to himself to build his proof that Jesus was indeed God. There are seven famous I am statements that Jesus makes in John's Gospel. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. And then the one that forms the heart of Jesus' dialogue in John chapter 6, which we read today. I am the bread of life. They are all metaphors by which Jesus explains who he is to his disciples, to the crowd, and to us. Jesus has just multiplied 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes to feed a hungry crowd of 5,000. They rush to him to make him a king, but he slips away to the other side of the lake. When they catch up with him, they are looking for another meal, and he knows it. But Jesus seeks to redirect them. Yes, I gave you a meal yesterday, and it fed your hungry stomachs. But I can do so much more for you than that. I can feed your hungry souls. I am the bread of life. In me is the only true satisfaction for the deep longings of the soul. Most commentators often reference St. Augustine when he said, "Our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee." St. Augustine knew from personal experience the many futile ways in which the hungry soul seeks satisfaction. The pursuit of learning, the pursuit of wealth, the pursuit of fame, the pursuit of power, mindless busyness, constant distraction, debauchery. They are all simply ways to mask the hunger of the soul. The only real food for the hungry soul is Jesus, who is the bread of life. There is a little devotional book that was published in 1995, just over 20 years ago. It was written by a Catholic husband and wife. It is a manual that suggests a way to say your prayers, and it's based upon a simplified contemporary restatement of the teaching of Saint Ignatius. It's called Sleeping with Bread, Holding What Gives You Life. It suggests that at the end of every day, right before you go to bed, you find time for quietness and you prayerfully consider 2 questions. First, looking back on my day, for what am I most grateful? Second, looking back on my day, for what am I least grateful? Being grateful is at the heart of the spiritual life. You have to deliberately hold in your heart those things for which you are grateful, so that you will never allow yourself to take them for granted. The day may come when they are no longer there. On the other hand, you need to banish from your heart those things for which you are not grateful. Because if you hold on to them, they will wither your spirit. Holding on to the things for which you are grateful brings consolation. Failing to let go of the things for which you are not grateful leaves you disconsolate. The name of the book, Sleeping with Bread, derived from a successful experiment about how best to care for the hundreds of children who had been orphaned by the bombing raids in the European cities of World War II. Many of those children could not fall asleep in the institutions in which they had been placed, until finally someone hit on the idea of giving them a piece of bread, instructing them not to eat it, but giving it to them right before they went to bed. And apparently, finally, the children slept in peace. The bread brought them consolation. They could say to themselves, "Today I ate, and I will eat again tomorrow." The manual is suggesting that before we fall asleep, we figuratively take hold of what has nourished us during the day. "Sleep with me in your heart," says Jesus, "because I am the source of all that truly nourishes you. I am the bread of life." But what about those things that leave us disconsolate? What are we to do with them? Let me tell you what Victor Hugo, the author of Les Miserables and The Hunchback of Notre Dame, did with the things that left him disconsolate. He was banished from France for publicly opposing the Second Empire of Napoleon III. He was 55 years old, and he was sent to the Channel Island, Guernsey. The coast of Normandy was just 26 miles away. He could see France, but it broke his heart to think that he might never live there again. He referred to Guernsey as "my present refuge and my probable tomb." It was where he wrote Les Miserables. Though he was despairing, he managed to be productive because he managed to tame his despair. And this is how he did it. Every afternoon, he would walk up onto a headland that faced France, and he would stare across the ocean. And then he would bend down, and he would pick up a pebble and he would toss it out into the sea. One day, a group of children who had been watching him asked why he threw stones into the sea. He replied, "It is not a stone that I am throwing into the sea, it is my self-pity." If Victor Hugo had allowed self-pity to overcome him, he would have become despondent and unable to write. That would have been the direct opposite of sleeping with bread, with the things that bring us life in abundance. There are other things that we can sleep with, not just self-pity, and too often we do, and they are poison for our souls. It might be fear, it might be anger, it might be greed, it might be hate, it might be physical pain. Those are rocks that we need to throw into the ocean by seeking God's grace and strength to do it. Jesus tells us that he is the bread of life. We need to be sure that we are not sleeping with some other bread. It needs to be him and him alone. As the crowd said to Jesus in the verse that I picked as my text for today, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Amen.